This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. I really hate to say it, but this is our last original episode. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll be re-airing some of our favorite stories, but the rest of this hour is all fresh. And I hope you'll excuse us for this, but the stories we've saved for this episode are a bit personal. Producer Martin Kessler leads us off with a tale from his childhood.
A few weeks ago, I called up my friend Hannah.
Well, so how are you doing that, first of all?
Doing well.
We met in kindergarten, where Hannah took on the critical job of distracting me every morning so my parents could successfully drop me off.
As, you know, one of us was having some separation anxiety.
When Hannah and I spoke recently, she was just 3 weeks away from getting married.
And I really appreciate that you could make time for this important piece of journalism.
I think it's important.
What we'll get to is important, maybe the Cheesecake Factory incident less so.
The Cheesecake Factory incident. It's one of the more embarrassing stories from my childhood. And while it involves two famous and talented sports stars, it's a tale I've kept secret from you, dear Only a Game listeners, for the past 7 years. But with the show coming to an end, it's time to finally come clean and to try to make amends. To tell you this story, I also called up two of Only a Game's biggest fans.
I am Rod Kessler. I'm the father of Martin Kessler.
And my mom, Sarah Abrams.
Cool. So are you recording on your phone?
I am.
And if it doesn't work, you can do it again, right?
You'd talk to me again?
No, this is it. You get one chance with me, and this is it.
Back in 2003 or 2004, when I was 12 or 13 years old, I went to the Cambridge Side Galleria Mall near Boston with Hannah and my parents. This was before their divorce. We ended up at the Cheesecake Factory for lunch.
I do remember it being dark, which the Cheesecake Factory there is actually kind of dark because there's like no windows on most of it.
I mean, I remember sitting at the table with your dad and you and Hannah. And the waiter, it was a man.
Probably in his late 20s or early 30s.
He was taking our order, and then he turned to you.
And whispered somewhat conspiratorially, "You won't know who's here, but it's Nomar Garciaparra."
Nomar with two home runs on the night. Drives this one deep to left field.
Nomar Garciaparra was the Red Sox star shortstop. He was a big deal in Boston, especially for kids my age. His rise to stardom coincided perfectly with our getting old enough to really follow baseball.
He was the one with the gloves, right?
Very unique routine when he steps into...
You know, everyone was amused by that.
Tightens his glove up, wristbands, there's the feet.
He was a superstar.
He was beloved.
He was a heroic figure around Boston.
And now he was sitting just a few booths away. This was surely the greatest thing that had happened to me since getting a Charizard and a pack of Pokemon cards. Hannah, who loves soccer, wasn't quite as excited.
Baseball? Not really my thing.
So if I was going to try to get Nomar's autograph, I was going to have to go by myself. The waiter tipped me off after Nomar put in his order and told me that I should approach before his food arrived.
You must have followed the waiter to another part of this restaurant, because I believe Nomar's booth was pretty much out of sight of most other people.
Clutching a pen and a white Cheesecake Factory cocktail napkin, I headed for Nomar. But despite our waiter's impeccable game plan, I quickly realized there was a problem. As I rounded the corner and caught sight of Nomar, I saw that his pizza had just arrived. Not only that, Nomar had just lifted his fork and knife. Yes, if memory serves, Nomar was going to eat a personal plain cheese pizza with a fork and knife, and was about to dig in for his first bite. I should have turned around, but I was like an overeager base runner who had too much momentum to suddenly pull up at third base. I kept barreling toward home. I approached Nomar's booth and asked for his autograph. He set down his fork and knife, and he took my pen and napkin. Nomar didn't say much, but the woman sitting across from him did. She asked me my name. I told her. She smiled, and she said they had a friend named Martin. Nomar finished signing the napkin, and I left.
I just remember you came back, and you had the autograph, and I wanted to know how it went. And what I remember you saying is that he was okay, you know, but his wife was really nice. And I said, you do know who his wife is, don't you?
In 1998, Nomar had attended a promotional event at Harvard. Also there, Mia Hamm, the star of U.S. soccer.
Here's Mia Hamm, in the box, the shot, goal!
The story goes that Mia and Nomar competed against each other in a soccer shootout. Nomar scored 3 goals, Mia scored 4. 5 years later, they were married. So Nomar's wife, the woman who'd been so kind to me while Nomar was signing my cocktail napkin, was Mia Hamm.
You were not impressed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not at all. So, but I can't remember, is it because you didn't know who she was, or you knew who she was and it just didn't matter to you? You know, it was all about him.
Oh, man. I'm like so disappointed in myself. I guess in my memory, I hope that as soon as I found out that it was Mia Hamm, that I would have immediately recognized my mistake. But you're saying that wasn't the case.
That's not what I recall. I mean, but I do remember what you said was that she was very nice.
In the years since, especially as I've worked for a show that made it such a priority to share stories of athletes, both male and female, I've grown more and more horrified and saddened by my failure to recognize and appreciate Mia Hamm, especially as I've heard more from women my age, like Hannah, about the importance of watching Mia Hamm in the 99 U.S. Women's National Soccer Team.
When you saw the crowd, you saw kids that looked like us. You saw girls at a sporting event, which I think usually when you think of a sporting event, you think of like mid-40s dudes like with a beer.
A little over a year ago, I sent an email to Mia Hamm's agent. The subject line read, "Admittedly odd media request." I was sure Mia and Nomar would not remember our interaction, but I wanted to have a deeper conversation about the way women's sports have grown in status over the past 15 or so years. I knew this was going to be tough. Mia famously does not like media attention. When she was profiled in Sports Illustrated in 2003, the cover featured a picture of her with the words, "The Reluctant Superstar." In fact, buried in that article was this line, quote, "It's a relief when slack-jawed strangers approach and walk right past her to Nomar." Reading that made me feel a bit better about the snub. Multiple requests to Mia's agent got me nowhere, so I reached out to the Dodgers. Nomar now works as an analyst for their TV network, and got this response. Quote, "Going through Nomar on something involving Mia is not advised," which, to be honest, I kind of loved because it just shows you who's more in demand these days. Last Saturday, I got a final rejection from Mia's agent. I guess I missed my one chance with Mia Hamm. But some of these bigger questions that I wanted to ask Nomar and Mia about the place of women's sports in America, I was still able to explore with a soccer superstar. Christine Lilly and Mia Hamm debuted on the U.S. national team together as teenagers. Lilly retired as the second leading goal scorer in U.S. soccer history. But that's not the only reason she was the perfect person to talk to for this story. She played for the Boston Breakers in the early 2000s. She knew the Boston sports culture then. Better yet, she even knew the Cheesecake Factory at the Cambridge Side Galleria.
Yeah, familiar with it.
So I told Christine Lilly the whole story about going up for the autograph.
He was about to dig in and I was like, I've gone too far. I'm going to ask.
That's cute.
And I asked for her reaction.
Well, I think it's innocence and life and society at that time. Yes, we won the World Cup in 99. So I think people were just recognizing us and knowing our names. But I think if you weren't totally in the sport, you know, it wasn't something that you would just think, oh, there's Mia.
How often would you get recognized just out and about back in like 2003?
You know, it was like a good amount, yes, and then a good amount, no. I lived in Brookline over by Coolidge Corner.
That's where I am right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Wait, what street?
Beacon in St. Paul.
All right. I was on Babcock.
Right by here. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So when I used to walk around there, you know, this young boy befriended me and he was a huge soccer fan. So I would see him in the neighborhood all the time. And I'm to this day still in touch with the family. So I think it was one of those things where people are still kind of getting used to the women's game, but the soccer fans kind of knew who you were.
Back in 1999, 18 million Americans watched the World Cup final. For the 2015 final, it was more than 25 million. And from 2015 to 2019, the average worldwide live audience across the entire tournament more than doubled. My friend Hannah has seen the widening fan base herself. Last year, she went to France for the Women's World Cup.
It was much less of that kind of group of like 8-year-old girls. Like, you didn't really see that. The whole stadium was sold out. 2 or 3 people down, there was a row of like 8 guys enjoying the fact that you could order beer delivered to your seats. They had like matching USA Hawaiian shirts of some kind or something. Like, I didn't really understand the vibe. But they were there and they weren't like with a group of girls.
What did you make of, or how did it feel to see a group of just eight, you know,
random
20-something dudes there? Yeah.
It's interesting. I feel mixed ways about it. Like, on one hand, it's nice that it's being just seen as, like, a sport that you can get really excited about and go to. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, like, I hope those gaggles of eight-year-old girls can still show up and still feel like this is, like, a sporting event that they can get involved in.
Before I said goodbye to Christine Lilly, I had one last favor to ask of her.
Well, I just wanted to also say or ask that next time you talk to Mia, if you could think to just please tell her thank you for being so nice to me and tell her that I'm sorry and that I'm really the loser.
I'm sure she's had that done to her many times. And I think sometimes if it was a young girl, I bet you they saw Mia and didn't know who Nomar was. And I think it probably happens a little bit more now for Nomar than it did, especially with young girls.
But my friend Hannah has a much more important message for Mia Hamm and the other members of the 1999 U.S. Women's National Team.
Hey, just want to say thank you. You've made a huge impact in my life, in my confidence, really. I mean, it goes beyond soccer. Being good at one thing kind of spreads to the rest of your life.
That story came from Only a Game's Martin Kessler.